Just over a year ago now, I was preparing to head out for a walk on the Chemin de Saint-Jacques, the network of pilgrimage routes heading west across France toward the Pyrenees and eventually Santiago de Compostela on the coast of Spain. My aim was pretty modest, just a couple of weeks on the trail, with time to reflect and see something new at the start of my sabbatical. The route that I had picked out is relatively well known. It's generally not crowded, like some of the more popular sections in Spain, but plenty of people walk it, so there is lots of information out there for those who want to plan ahead. You can read all about the villages that you'll be passing through and the local food that you're likely to encounter and the lodging options along the way. You can also find advice about packing. Lots of advice about packing. Packing is a big topic when you're preparing for any trip, but when you're going to be carrying everything on your back, as most pilgrims do, the discussion gets pretty intense. You can read all about the relative merits of various hiking packs, features, comfort, capacity. You can look up advice on how many quick dry shirts to bring, how many pairs of socks, how many heavier layers for possible cold weather, what sort of rain gear you should bring, both for you and for your pack. And if you really want to head down a rabbit hole, start reading about footwear. Hiking boots or running shoes, over the ankle or below, heavy and sturdy or light and nimble. The choices are endless, and if you are so inclined, you can spend more time getting ready for your walk than you will actually spend on the trail. The guidebooks and the websites all have this clear message behind them, and it's one that most of us resonate with pretty easily. You want to be prepared for whatever lies ahead. You do not want to be stuck missing something that you might need. It makes sense, right? I mean, who wants to end up in the rain with a crummy jacket or caught with a nasty scrape and no first aid kit? We think carefully about packing for any journey to avoid unpleasant or even dangerous circumstances like this. That is how most of us think about preparing for a trip, but not Jesus, it turns out. You might say Jesus' packing list is minimalist. Don't worry about choosing a pack, he says. Just don't bring one. And don't worry about what shoes you wear. Go barefoot. No purse, no bag, no sandals, he says to the followers he sends out in our reading today. In short, bring nothing. Just go. This would not play well on the pilgrimage route blogs, and for good reason. It is profoundly risky to head out into the unknown unprepared. People get themselves into big trouble by not planning ahead. Jesus' followers had to know all this too. His directions must have sounded more than a little bit strange. So what is going on here? Jesus' ministry is growing at this point in Luke's gospel. People are paying attention, crowds are listening, and many are joining him on the road toward Jerusalem. The group around him has clearly swelled far beyond the original 12 disciples, and Jesus is interested in reaching still more with the news that the kingdom of God is at hand. The harvest is plentiful. There's work to be done. So he appoints 70 from the crowd of followers around him, and he sends them out two by two into the various villages in the countryside that's ahead. This general approach makes sense, of course. By splitting up the group, they can cover a whole lot more ground. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and a confrontation with the powerful now, so there's no way that he would personally have time to visit 35 individual towns at this point. The approach makes good sense, but it is striking how profoundly unprepared these messengers appear to be. None of them has completed like a four-year training program. Many have probably only been in Jesus' company for a matter of weeks or maybe months. They are not carrying a detailed curriculum to share with those they meet on the way, just some very basic instructions to proclaim peace and the nearness of God. And as we said, they are woefully undersupplied. Left entirely to their own devices, they will not last long without purse, bag, or sandals. Some commentators suggest that the scant packing list is to sort of emphasize the importance of the message that the disciples are carrying. Maybe. But it seems there's more to Jesus sending his disciples out this unprepared. Like he thinks there's maybe actually something very important about not having everything that you need. So I thought I prepared well for my walk last summer. I got myself a detailed guidebook, and I read some of the blogs, and I printed out a packing list that seemed reasonable to me, thorough but not over the top. I thought I had packed well, but of course I forgot things, notably duct tape. Do you know what duct tape is? It's this thick, durable tape with strings inside. It's often silver in color, a bit shiny, and it can fix anything. Use enough duct tape and you can patch up a hole in a tent, or mend a broken walking stick, or hold together a torn backpack. In my camping days long ago, I learned never to head into the wild without duct tape, sort of a cardinal rule for me. But it was not on that handy packing list I printed out, so I forgot it this time. And I became aware of my mistake one afternoon, several days into my walk, when, within a span of about 1 hour, both of my hiking boots fell apart. The soles split in exactly the same place, right through the bottom. They were worn and old and decided to give out in the middle of a day that was spent crossing these lovely fields in the French countryside. I knew I was not likely to find a pair anywhere nearby, but if only I had some duct tape, I thought, I could fix these boots. It can fix anything, really. But where was I going to get duct tape in the French countryside? The villages nearby were tiny. You were lucky to find anything more than a bakery. And I did not even know the French word for duct tape, which you'll be interested to know if you didn't already is du scotch américain. So it all seemed utterly hopeless. I was moping my way through the fields that afternoon when I passed a family who had stopped to look at some cows. I was not in the mood to stop myself. My feet were starting to get wet. So I trudged past, but as I did, two very distinct words drifted out of their conversation. Duct tape. Excuse me, I said, interrupting them. Did you just say duct tape? And yes, they did. I had happened upon a group of Canadians who were better prepared than I was. They took one look at my shoes and agreed that duct tape was in order, and they helped me wrap both shoes right then and there. This was like 2 hours after my boots had split. We chatted for a while about our time on the trail, where we had come from, where we were headed. And some days later, when our paths crossed again, they gave me their entire roll of tape because they could tell that my shoes needed it more than they did. I wished that I had packed better. But here's the thing. If I had packed everything perfectly, I would not have met this lovely family. I would not have had this memorable experience that has stayed with me far more vividly than most of the things I was actually prepared for. I wouldn't have had this story to share with you. In that situation, it turns out, there was a grace in not having everything that I needed. And I wonder if this is getting somewhere close to the reason Jesus sends his followers out with such limited preparation. If they had all received extensive training and a detailed script and all the supplies they could possibly need, they certainly would have been a more professional enterprise. They would have been more efficient, more polished. But ministry in that scenario would have been something very one-sided, with Jesus' followers needing nothing and receiving nothing from those around them. They could have been this finely tuned ministry machine, but Jesus clearly had something else in mind, something where there was give and take. Exchange, mutuality, relationship. He wanted them to experience not only the work of sharing a message, but also the grace of not having everything that you need. It seems he wanted them to sit in others' living rooms and listen to their stories and hear about their experiences and receive their hospitality. His followers had something to offer. Yes, words of peace, a proclamation of the kingdom of God come near, their own reflections on what life with Jesus was like, They had something, but they didn't have everything. They didn't have all the answers, all the plans, all the supplies that they would need. They needed to rely on others, to be good guests. This was clearly something Jesus wanted his followers to learn, right here from the start. I'm sure this was a strange lesson for those followers 2,000 years ago. It certainly is for us today. Here in Geneva, as in so many places, independence is seen as a great virtue. We are taught not to lean on others if we can help it, to prepare well, to find our own way. And Jesus challenges that perspective. For him, self-sufficiency is not so much the goal. He is much more interested in mutuality, in exchange, in the discoveries that may come when we recognize our genuine need for one another. So I'm not ready to give up entirely on packing lists and preparation and planning. And I think we could probably find other teachings of Jesus that would support some degree of prudence and responsibility. But I do sense an invitation here to lighten up a bit, to go with the flow, and to recognize that we are made for something other than rugged independence. There is a grace in not having it all, because then you're out of your self-sufficient shell. Then you are open to others. Then there's the possibility to learn and grow and give and receive. In the encounter, Jesus says, there is more than meets the eye. In the sharing, the kingdom of God is near. Thanks be to God. Amen.